Pretty nice in life if all your responsibilities you can just handle with a flip of a switch. I need more money for my bills, you just flip a switch. These kids aren't minding me, they're driving me crazy, you just flip a switch. My boss doesn't appreciate everything I do, you just flip a switch. The truth is, responsibilities can be a heavy load, and there's no switches. You have to deal with them. The topic today is how to be prepared so you can have a lighter load. Look at your notes, it's the big idea. Preparation lightens my load. We all have a load that we carry, and sometimes it gets pretty heavy. It's the responsibilities that we have. We're in this series, My Name in Jesus, and basically what we're talking about is who is Jesus? What does he say? What does he do? Who is this person that lived 2,000 years ago and a Jewish person that creates the greatest following ever known in humankind? And why does it matter to me in my everyday life? Now, we're looking at one of the books in the Bible that was a biography of Jesus. There's four of them in the Bible. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All these four guys wrote stories about Jesus. And we're looking at the one by this person named Mark, who was Jesus' friend and was a person that began to follow him. But he was a part of the Jewish church, and it was quite a transition for him to move from having a religion to having a relationship. That's the whole theme of Mark's book. Just jot a note somewhere so you'll get it. His theme is, you can have a relationship, not a religion. It was a huge thing for him to figure out how to do that. And he starts by talking about preparation. Now, last week we talked about how God prepared everybody with John the Baptist to hear the good news about Jesus. Today we're going to hear how Jesus prepared to share the good news. Look in your notes, we'll read it together. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from him, "And you are my Son, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased." So Jesus gets baptized, and you think, well, why would Jesus get baptized? I mean, if baptism is supposed to do something about washing away my sins, why would he get baptized? Because he never sinned. And some people, they think that in churches, and people think that baptism is to wash away my sins, and it's not. And some people think baptism is when I make a commitment to a church or God, and it's not. Baptism, and it is in this story here, isn't a commitment that I make. Baptism is to help me understand that God is committed to me. But I don't get baptized so I can make a commitment to God. I get baptized so I can understand that God is committed to me. And Jesus gets baptized and he tells heaven and earth and everybody around him, and maybe even his own self, he says, I know God is committed to me. And then committed to me how? What is he committed to do? He's committed to love me. Jesus hasn't started his ministry yet, and as he's facing this ministry before him, God wants him to know, I'm committed to you and I'm committed to love you. And isn't the only type of love that matters is the kind of love that is found in commitment? Because if a love is here today and gone tomorrow, and I give it and take it back, give it and take it back, give it and take it back, that type of love, that only hurts you. Kind of the carrot love. I love you, I love you. Oh, I don't love you today because you did that. That type of love only hurts. When I love people that way, it hurts them. When someone loves me, when love doesn't have a commitment, someone always gets hurt. But this is a different type of love here. This is a commitment. It's God saying, I'm committed to loving you. It's non-negotiable. It's irrefutable, undeniable, and unconditional. God makes a commitment. And Jesus hears it when he comes up out of the water. He hears it. And isn't it true, and we've seen this so many times in the Bible, it's after I take a step that something amazing happens in my life. He takes a step to get baptized. I'm going to take a step to get baptized. And then something really great happens for him. And so I wanted to ask the question, what preparation step do you maybe need to make? Some of you maybe need to get baptized because it's so difficult for you to believe that God is committed to love you. When I was a kid, I got baptized. I was a teenager, and I got baptized to please someone in my family, and it didn't bring me close to God at all. Because I thought I was making a commitment to God. It never even occurred to me that actually God was making a commitment to me. So for some, maybe we're going to have a baptism next week. We thought about having a membership class today after the service, but I decided not to do it. Let me tell you why I did. Because in the way of looking at how we start to follow Jesus, we first make an understanding that he's committed to me, and then maybe we decide if a church is going to be committed to me, and I'm committed to them. So the first step is baptism and then membership. And as I thought and prayed about that, we don't want to do membership first. We'll do baptisms first. And for some of you, even though you've been baptized before, you might need to rethink it, because here's why. Is it difficult for you to believe that God is committed to you? And do you know his commitment is to love you? And if not, that's why you get baptized. So you can understand that. Maybe there's another trust step that you need to take, or some other kind of step that you need to reach out and take. Jesus, it says that he looks up and the heavens are torn open. And that's God's way of saying to Jesus before he starts his ministry, you're not going to do this in your strength. You're going to do it in the strength that comes from heaven. I mean, think about Jesus. Is there anybody ever that's faced more pressure than him? I mean, he's getting ready to start his ministry. I mean, Savior of the world. That's some pressure. All the crowds and people that are going to come to him, and they need something. I mean, if you're a mom all day long, mom, but you're not the Savior of the world. You're just the Savior of your little tribe of kids. But I mean, Jesus had crowds coming to him, people, tell me good things, Jesus, heal me of things. I mean, that's a lot of pressure that he had in his life. And before it even begins, the heavens tear open, and it's God's way of saying to him, because Jesus didn't tear the heavens open, God did. And it's God's way of saying, you're not going to be able to do this in your own strength. The load always gets heavier when I try to carry it in my own strength. And you know, think about it. If you were going to tear the heavens open, I mean, in your mind you think, well, God's going to tear the heavens open. You probably would think of fire and earthquakes going to happen and flashes and billows of smoke and flames. And it's only like, here comes the heavens, they tear open, and out flies a dove. You know, it's like, it's almost girly, kind of heavens torn open. I mean, you're thinking, this is an action flick. I mean, you know, at least, come on, give me an explosion, God, and a dove flies out. And here's why. It's a symbol of peace. Here's what I'm saying. Heavenly power can create peace in my life no matter how much pressure I have. Because here's my tendency. When I have lots and lots of pressure, I want to change my circumstances. I want to make everything different so I'm not all stressed out. And aren't you glad that Jesus didn't mail it in? Aren't you glad that Jesus at some point didn't decide, this is way too stressful for me, I'm going to have to change the plan? But a lot of times that's what I do. When it gets really pressure-packed and stress-filled, I'm like, man, I have got to change things up in my life here. I've got to drop some things. I've got to back away from some things because this is way too stressful. The heavens tear open, and out comes this bird. And it's God's way of saying, no matter how heavy the load is, if you look to heaven for strength, what's overwhelming you in your life? And it seems really, really heavy and stressful, and there's a lot of pressure. Look to heavens for the strength, and it'll create peace for you. Now look at the last part of the little story. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with wild animals, and angels attended him. You know, Mark is kind of like the guy that writes the action flick. He leaves out a lot of details. It's like I go camping with my friends, and we fly fish, and we see a bear, and one guy falls out of a tree, another guy catches his flannel on fire, one guy eats too much and gets sick, you know, a guy sprains his ankle in the river, and then when I come home, my wife says, hey, what happened camping? I'm like, nothing, hanging out. Because it's just so easy for me to just like, not a lot of details to share. That's Mark. Jesus went out into the desert and some animals came by. That's it. That's what happened out there. You know. But that's why sometimes it's good to look at some of the other stories, the other perspectives. Now there's another man that writes about this, and he's a doctor. His name is Luke. You know how doctors are. They never can let any details go. Your cholesterol's too high. God, that's a detail I'm not interested in. You know, I don't care about that doctor, but they always are. And so these details, look in your notes. We're going to see what Luke has to say. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. That's a pretty big detail that was left out. He ate nothing during those days. That's a big detail. And at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it's written, man shall not live on bread alone. So look at all the detail that Mark left out, and here's what happened. He goes out here and he's tempted by the devil. And the thing to know is when you're prepared, when you let God prepare you, you can go on the offensive. Jesus doesn't wait for the devil to come to him. He doesn't wait for the temptation. He goes right and he looks for the battle. He runs towards the battle. And when you are prepared, you can go on the offensive and not the defensive. You can do something about the load that you're carrying. Now here's Jesus. He goes out there and, you know, the devil knows he hasn't been eating in a while. And he basically says to him, he says, listen, here's the thing to do. Just go ahead and eat now because you've done this long enough. And the whole temptation is to try to get him to quit. And that's what happens when I'm carrying too heavy a load. My tendency is to justify stopping and quitting. I don't care what it causes for anybody else. I'm done now. And isn't it true that the easiest time to quit is when you feel like you've done more than your share? The easiest time to quit is when you said, I have been doing this a long, long time. I've been in this marriage 20 years. I've worked the most overtime of anybody. I am always on time with work. I always watch her kids and help out, and I'm done now. Because it's really easy to quit when I tell myself, I've done enough. And that's what the devil does. He comes and he says to Jesus, you've done enough. 40 days you haven't eaten. Go ahead and take a bite. It's very easy to justify stopping and quitting and shirking my responsibilities and not even seeing what it causes for anybody else because I have done a ton. Is there anything you've been doing it for a super, super long time? Jesus is in the beginning of his ministry. He's probably looking down the road. And he's probably going, oh, man, it hasn't even started yet. Already I didn't get to eat for 40 days. And the devil comes and says, have worked hard enough. It's amazing how many people drop out of college during their senior year because it's like, I've been at this long enough. Or just before they get the promotion, or just before they find a healthy way to have a marriage, I've done it long enough. He then comes to me and says, go ahead. Take some bread. You've done this plenty long enough. And maybe Jesus, is when he says man does not live by bread alone, maybe he's remembering because he just had been baptized, and that's one of the reasons it's so important because I know God is committed to me when I get baptized. I'm going to say it 1,000 times to you. When you get baptized, you're not speaking a commitment that you're making to God at all. That's not what it's about. It's about being to remember all the time how committed God is to you. So he's in a tough spot here. No food for 40 days. Who knows when I'm going to get again? And Satan says, well, you have my permission. Look at that rock right there. That makes a nice sourdough, wouldn't it? Maybe Jesus remembers back, and he remembers coming up out of the water. He remembers God saying, I love you. And maybe he remembers God saying, I'm pleased with you. I'll let you peek into my life for a second. When I'm overwhelmed and I feel lots and lots of pressure, I'm not really concerned about pleasing God. I'm concerned about pleasing myself because I have done this for a super long time now. I've gone way past the other guy. I've done enough, and I start thinking about how can I please myself? I get fixated on what can I do to make my life better? How can I please myself? And here's why it's a bad cycle for me, because the more I focus on pleasing myself, the less I'm focused on the strength that comes from heaven. So the load that I carry just gets heavier and heavier and heavier because I'm trying to do it on my own strength because I'm not focused on heaven at all because I'm focused on me. Because I'm trying to please me. And so I get stuck in this cycle. I'm trying to please me. Something, please, please. And some people even feel like they're burned out. I'm so burned out on this relationship. I'm so burned out on this job. I'm so burned out on my bad hair day. Just after, you know, all these things. Just my life sucks. I'm burned out. And they're not even burned out. Here's what it is. Life has arrived from the future and they're unprepared for it. It's not that they're tired or fatigued or anything. God wants to take a step. What do you need to be doing right now? There's a step. For those that follow you, you know God is asking you to prepare because he sees the future, and he knows the future will be arriving soon. And if you're unprepared for the future, you will be overwhelmed and feel pressure. She's preparing you right now. Take a step with me so you can prepare, because the future will be arriving. And if it arrives and I'm unprepared, then I feel all this pressure and all this weight. And I'm like, I got to do something about this, man. I got to drop some of these responsibilities. I got to find something for me that I enjoy doing. So I then focus on all these things that will please me. I take my eyes off heaven where the strength comes from. And the stuff just gets heavier and heavier. And the cycle just keeps going and going and going. And I'm grumpy. And a drag to be around, and I wreck stuff in my family. It's a mess. Now I'm not saying that life isn't difficult, because it is. What I am saying, though, that the answer is not to change your circumstance. Oftentimes, here's like a good way to figure it out. I have a really heavy load right now. I don't know what to do. Here's the best thing you can do. Find out. Say, God, how do I please you? If you're stressed out, you're feeling lots of pressure, your load is way too heavy, and your tendency right now is to say, I have got to drop some of these responsibilities, and I've got to find out how I can get this thing turned around so I'm happy. If you want to take the first step, here's your how-to. You want to take the first step, here it is right here. Focus on this. How do I please God? That's how you get out of burnout. How do I please you, God? What direction do I go to please you? Jesus says, man does not live on bread alone. Here's what he was saying. Bread runs out. God's power never does. Because if my focus is to please God, then guess what? I'm looking towards heaven, and here comes the strength. And my load gets lighter. Let's look at the second detail that Luke puts in there. The devil led him on a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. Have you ever wondered, like a famous person, like a movie star, rock star, athlete or something like that, and you just wonder if they're getting any help? I'm just saying. I mean, if it's true that there's darkness and a devil or anything, I'm just wondering, just thinking in your own mind, have you ever wondered, they're not that good. How did they get so, I'm just saying, it's a possibility. Is it a possibility that someone, or even in your world, they're getting a little help from somewhere? Maybe someone gave them something. Just saying. So he says, I can give it to anyone I want. It's been given to me. And then he says, if you worship me, it will be all yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And I like this because at this point, it says it happens in an instant. And boy, a lot of life can happen in an instant. A guy's walking out of a big building downtown. It's late at night. He's coming. He's going to go home. Married guy walks out of the building, and this woman approaches him, and she walks up, and in an instant, she said, I'll do whatever you want for $50. Here's this married guy. Here's the girl all, you know, dressed and everything. I'll do whatever you want for $50. In an instant, he looked at her, and he said, paint my house. And I thought, now that is a great response, you know. The problem is when that kind of stuff hits me in an instant, sometimes I'm not that ready. And for the second time in here, you maybe caught that little phrase that Jesus said, it is written. Do you know how you get ready? You know God's word. So when something hits you, you know some of the Bible. If you're trying to walk with Jesus and have a relationship and you never get into the Bible, you're making it very difficult on yourself, because instants will occur. All of a sudden you say something stupid to your boss or stupid to your girlfriend, or you get defensive, and all of a sudden an instant can turn into an ordeal. Because at a key moment, you didn't have the response like paint my house. You're like kind of drawn in. And in this like little section right here, you know, Jesus is confronted with this idea of, man, it would be so much easier. No crowds, no miracles, no more fasting, no cross. It would be so much. And, you know, God is not opposed to effort. He's opposed to earning, not effort. Earning he's opposed to, because if you try to earn stuff, you know, some people are like, I earned this because I went to church every single Sunday. I earned this because of all the money we put you through college. Because here's the problem. Maybe you know someone like this. Maybe you see it in yourself. Sometimes I do. Here's the thing. When I feel like I've earned something, it's a very small step to think I'm entitled. Do you work with anybody that's like that? They just feel like they're entitled. because they earned it. So God's opposed to that. We don't earn anything with him. Remember, the commitment is, I love you no matter what. It's unconditional, undeniable, unrefutable. I'm committed to love you. And any love that is not formed in a commitment is a hurtful love. God says, I'm committed to you. But he's not opposed to effort, because it takes a lot of effort in life to get good at things. It's a lot of effort to become a good husband. I've been working on it for eons. It's a lot of effort for my wife to become a good wife. It's a lot of effort to become a good parent. It's a lot of effort to become someone that can be patient and wise with the truth. It's a lot of effort to get good at your work. It just takes effort in life. And God's not opposed to that. He'll join us in that. And interesting, when it comes to putting out effort, I was having this wrestling match once with this kid. You know how guys are. And it was just a long time ago, but we're wrestling all through the house. Lamps turned over, couch turned over. You know how wrestling with guys usually turns into slugging and kicking. And, you know, we were just wrestling around. And somehow he got me down on the ground, and he got my arm put up behind my back. And he had it twisted up behind my back like this. And he started saying, say it, say it, say it, say uncle. And he's just twisting it, pulling it so far. And like any guy, I'm like, way, you know, but you can. I could almost kind of hear it. I'm like, whoa, he's not playing. Twisting it, say it, say it, say it. And I don't know what came over me, but I just turned back and I said, rip it off. I ain't saying it. Here's the problem with that. There are so many times in life that I have been on the verge of saying uncle. Whether it's family or my relationship or something I'm doing at work, I mean, you know, I am on the verge. I am so close to saying it. I am ready to say it because I can't put out any more effort. Effort's not the answer. Taking the easy way out isn't the answer. My life has too much stress. It's just too much pressure. I'm stopping. Here's the problem with that, man. If you're going to raise a family, there's going to be a lot of pressure. If you're going to be a boss at work, there's going to be a lot of pressure. If you're going to go back to school, there's going to be a lot of pressure. Life is filled with stress and pressure. You can't just dump it and run away with it and take the easy way out. Oh, okay, I'll just be Savior right now. But then again, if you try to really try hard, put a lot of effort into it, you will see that sometimes you don't have enough. And you'll be on the verge of saying, like, uncle in your marriage, uncle at work, uncle in your relationship, uncle with your sexual purity, uncle with your finances. I can't go any further. I am done. And Jesus in this section, I just want to put it out there. He just says this, it is written. We have these little journals that we hand out, and these little journals, we put the Bible in here. These just take 10 minutes anytime you want to read one. Each page takes 10 minutes. It is written. When the devil comes to him and says, listen, just take the easy way out, and you have to know the Bible, what Jesus says, and he says it very, very simply. He says, well, hey, wait a minute. It says in the Bible that I'm supposed to only worship God and serve him only. That's actually going to be easier than taking the easy way out. How do I know? It's written. The Bible can be so intimidating. It was for me. I wanted to know what was inside the Bible. Then I looked at the book. It's about this thick, these and thous and thuses and all that stuff. I was like, I can't understand any of that. I was discouraged, so I never even tried. I had no idea that they have the Bible today translated. It's written in Greek and Hebrew, so none of us, it's always translated into our English. They have contemporary translations that you can read. I didn't know it was a bunch of little tiny books, tiny little books all written together that I could just open it up and read just a little bit. I didn't know that there was a promises. There's 3,000 promises in God's Word. 3,000! There's some promise for your circumstances. We have them outside and we give them away free, not because we don't think you can afford it, because I know it's hard to figure out what translation. People come from different perspectives, so we just have the Bibles out there. You can grab one, because if you know the Bible, even a little bit of the Bible, when you are tempted, because you will be, you can say, wait a minute, that's not what the Bible says. It is written this. This week I had to really step up, and I had to say to myself one of my favorite promises: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. They pull a fast one on me at work. I had to work like 36 hours in 3 days. And this is coming up, and they didn't think any big deal of it. And I started getting grumpy and grouchy and pissy and whatever, and I just, I had to settle myself down and say, wait a minute. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, not my strength, maybe not my power. Remember when he tore open the heavens? My skills, my talents, my family, my money, that's powerful, but it isn't powerful like God, and there is no dove flying out to give me the peace that I need. And I remembered the promise. It's like I said, wait a minute, I know my life is writing this story, but in the Bible it is written that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. One little verse changed my whole week. Jesus says, it's written. I hope you try the journals. I hope you grab a Bible on your way out. If you don't do it, just give it a chance. Just look at it so you can say it's written. Now, the last little temptation here, we'll look at it. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it's written, he'll command his angels concerning to guard you carefully. They'll lift you up in their hands that you won't strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Here's a question I want to ask you. In your life right now, with your decisions, are you following God, or do you expect God to follow you? Because that's what this is right here. He's saying, go ahead and do whatever you want. God will bail you out. Do you know how much pain can be avoided in life if I would just check with God first? God, do you mind if I climb up there and jump off this thing? Because it looks like a blast. Rather than climb up there and jump off it and then halfway down. It's like people that jump into relationships and jump into jobs and jump out of marriages and jump into other relationships and jump out of this responsibility and jump out of that responsibility, and they never check with God at all. They're jumping, 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 jumping. And then once they jump into it, it's like the parable of this guy that was on top of a high building, and he asked everybody he worked with, he said, I want to jump off this building. And everybody's like, well, don't jump off the building. You're crazy. It's 50 stories high. But one guy said, you could jump off that building. Just don't look down. He goes flying off the building. He's like flying. He's like, wow, this is fun. 45, 44, 46. Someone sees him coming down the window. They said, what are you doing? He says, whatever I want. This is a blast. It's like doing somersaults and flying around. 27, 26, 25. Someone sticks their head out the window and says, I can't believe he did it. He did it. What are you doing? He says, I jumped off. This is so much fun. 11, 10, 9. He made the mistake. He looked down and, God! That's when he checked in. So much pain could be avoided if I would check in with God before I jump. The enemy comes to him, the devil comes, Satan comes, go ahead and jump. Because even if you do, God will bail you out. And he will. He will every time. But you will still experience a fall. And it can be avoided. I'm not saying, you never know, God may say, I'll climb the temple with you, let's jump off, that looks like a blast. If you check in. Now let's look at a couple points of application. Turn your notes over, and we're almost done. Remember God's commitment to me. So I always try to say something that's committed, because here's what we're saying. Baptism, taking a step of preparation. Your future is coming towards you. It's just coming towards you. It's coming towards me. It's coming towards you. It's going to arrive, and your load will be much, much lighter. If your load is heavy now, it's because you didn't prepare then. And the future came, and it's here now. And it's too dang heavy for me because I didn't prepare for it. You're not overwhelmed and you're not burned out. You didn't prepare. And so now God comes and he's saying even to you today, I know the future. The future's coming towards you. I want you to prepare right now. So when it arrives, the load is not so heavy. Power will come from heaven and it'll give you peace no matter what. And the reminder here is to remember God's commitment to me. I like this story, and maybe you've heard it before, about this kid that was raised by his grandmother, which I kind of relate to, and he wanted to be a wrestler, which is weird because, I don't know, you don't have to raise your hand, but if you've ever seen a high school wrestling suit, and then you would know why nobody should be a wrestler. I mean, they have to wear those suits, and they're just ridiculous. But anyways, he was willing to go through that humiliation. He's a high school wrestler, but he's terrible. How you doing in wrestling? Pinned, mostly. I mean, just was not that good. He never earned his varsity letter his junior year, and he's getting ready to go into his senior year, and in that summer, his grandmother passed away. And the coach of the wrestling team took him in, and he knew it was going to be awkward because the kid is not that good of a wrestler. He doesn't even know if he's going to make the varsity squad. And somehow this little scrapper somehow gets onto the varsity, and he wins just enough matches towards the end of the season, two more matches. If he could just win one more, he's going to get his varsity letter, and he does it. So this kid, they never thought he was going to do anything. Somehow he earns a varsity letter. And I want you to this is a true story that happened. The coach didn't tell him that he'd earned the letter. And he called him into his office and had him sit down. He says, I have something for you. And he handed him an envelope. And the envelope had David's name written on it, and it was in his grandmother's handwriting. And he opened it and it read, Dear Dave, I knew you could do it. I set aside $100 to buy you a school jacket to put your letter on. Oh, I hope you'll wear it proudly. And remember, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Congratulations, Grandma. And after David finished reading the letter, his coach reached behind him and he pulled out a brand new jacket with the school letter attached, and David's name embroidered on the front of the jacket. Before you'll ever be able to be committed to God, you'll have to understand that God is committed to you. And I hope you'll consider baptism if you haven't been baptized. Maybe you got baptized a long time. I hope you will. I hope you'll pray this week and think about it. If you're having a hard time knowing that God is committed to love you, please think. Pray. Just say a prayer. God, do I need to get baptized? Now here's the second thing right in your note. Face the temptation to quit. Because that's what this is about. The devil leads him out there, and there's this temptation to quit. And I thought this was kind of a good story about it, because here's what happens to Jesus. He gets baptized. He comes out of the water. Then right away, there's a temptation. And by the way, temptations are not designed for you to fail. Temptations are things that occur to show that I don't have to fail. So here he is in this temptation now, and here's the pressure, and the whole pressure is to quit. And when you're in circumstances that are way too much pressure, the idea is to quit on my responsibilities. It doesn't matter what it means for anybody else. I have to start pleasing me. And at some point, you have to face that. In the midst of it, you have to face, I want to quit. Because it's real. Now, hear this story. I thought it was a good way of looking at it. Physical pressure is similar to emotional pressure in some respects. For example, even the atomic submarines built strongly enough to batter through the ice at the North Pole have a maximum depth limit, beyond which they can go, they will not go safely. The submarine Thresher exceeded that depth some years ago. As the pressure increased, the water crushed the sub's heavy steel bulkheads as if they were made of cheap plastics. Searchers found only little pieces of that huge submarine. Yet, there are fish that live at the same depth in which the Thresher was crushed. How can these fish survive? The answer is that they have equal pressure within themselves. And it can be that way for people that follow Jesus. In ourselves, we're doomed, but in Christ, he can make a pressure inside of us that protects us from the pressure outside of us. And part of that is being willing to stand in the middle of it and face that you want to quit. Now, here's the bottom line this weekend. Success is preceded by preparation. Jesus returned, that's the last part of the story. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. So he's starting his ministry now, and you may be starting a relationship, or a new job, or you may be starting a new dream, or you may want to start something that's gotten stagnant, and you need something, some power, something, and you've been thinking lately, I might just quit. I might just bail out of this responsibility. And what the message is designed today to tell you is this: that God will lighten your load. And that success is preceded by preparation. If you missed a step back here, that's why life's too heavy. And it'll continue to be that way for you. And you'll get stuck in that ugly cycle where it's all about pleasing me. And so I take my eyes off heaven, and now I don't have the strength. And so it just gets worse and worse, and I want to please me and me worse because I'm not strong enough to handle life, and it's always too heavy. And God doesn't have that for you. He wants to prepare you, give you a preparation step. So if you'll take your connection cards and look at it for just a moment, look on your connection cards today, and I want you, if you're thinking of getting baptized next week, or you know anybody that is, would you just write on your connection card somewhere, I want to get baptized next week. Why do you get baptized? Because you want to understand and confirm for yourself that God is committed to you. So when the pressure comes, what you have on the inside will be stronger than anything on the outside, because you'll be able to look to heaven for your strength, and you will see power in the form of peace that will give you peace regardless of your circumstances. Baptism, there could be some other step you're supposed to take to be prepared. Whatever it is, your future will arrive soon. And if you're unprepared, don't fool yourself. I'm just going to do it anyways. I don't care. It will arrive. And if you're not ready for it because you haven't prepared, you will be overwhelmed. Like a submarine.